It's for real this time. Time to rally together. They are here to give their take, their opinions, their spin, if you will, on the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. Welcome, Tommy Joe Lucia, Kendra Santos. Time for No Spin Rodeo Rally.
Good Saturday morning. Hey, Pat McAfee. Pat, I know you're watching our show. This is a real cowboy hat. This is a war bonnet. This is a buckle, a real buckle. Great Lake Circuit Finals. So, Pat, if you want some on ESPN, if you want some real rodeo gear, you can just reach out to No Spin and come on our show. We'll show you how it's done. Welcome, everybody. We are at Cowboy Commons right here at the Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada for episode number 38. Welcome our team. To my right, Greg Teagarden. To my left,
morning,
Kendra.
Everybody.
Good morning. Sorry about that. To my left, Kendra Santos. And Kendra, we got a stud.
An absolute ultimate stud. This is an easy introduction. One of the great joys and privileges of my career is to watch the money or mud man that Billy Etbauer, 5 gold buckles, Hall of Famer and all that, but like the both barrels blazing every time, never afraid to hit the ground, going for first was his calling card. Watching Billy, it's hard to put into words, but I mean, 51 NFR victory laps kind of tells a bit of a tale. I don't know how you weren't dizzy by the time you got done with that. These kids raised in Ree Heights, South Dakota, pretty ranchy country, but Billy, Robert, Danny, and their honorary fourth brother and traveling partner, Craig Latham, who we lost in recent times to cancer. These guys, like, they were old school and in the coolest possible way. They rodeoed out of the same bank account, for God's sake. Like, all for one and one
That's
for all.
That's trust.
These guys lived it. And if one guy won and the other guy didn't, and I got your interviews, whatever, I mean, that's extraordinary. And think about that. Like, you're the whole group is coming. And it was sort of like the wolf pack of Tuff and Lane and Jim Sharp and Clint Bronger and those guys. Like, when these guys showed up, everybody knew a lot of the money was leaving in their van.
In their single bank account.
You know, and so I just hear another fun fact because I'm so old. It's like, this guy, how many records have stood here for 20 years? But he owns the NFR record, 93 points, back-to-back himself, 2003, 2004, Kessler's Cool Alley, 93 points, and it still stands today. That's extraordinary.
Greatest, one of the greatest cowboys ever. Well, welcome. You're going to have to talk to us every now and then because he is a very kind, quiet gentleman. But I'm gonna force you to talk to us a little bit. So, as a kid, rough growing up, you know, ranchy. Like, what is it? What was Billy's childhood like?
No, it was really great. You really couldn't have it any better, in my opinion. You know, we had horses. They were raising horses, and you know, we had 300 head of mama cows, and basically taking them day in and day out, you know, care of them. But we did, we were a self-contained farm ranch operation. So we were putting up our own milo, our own corn, our own oat, our own hay. We was doing everything ourselves. And then, so we'd actually fatten cattle ourselves, you know, so at a given time we'd have 900 head around there, basically on 4,000 acres. And you know, half of it was basically grass and half of it was farm ground. And then when by the time you got them that 2 years old or what have you, that they get to a certain weight, then they'd take them to the packers and, you know, then it'd just start all over again. So I could tell you it's a little cold in South Dakota in the middle of wintertime. But yeah, we was, you know, having big country. You know, we had big country, but the you know, it was, I guess, between just boys being boys and being out there, you know, we always had something to do, and we were always entertained. You know, there was neighbors that was close there, and, you know, 5-10 miles away. And you
close, even, 5-10 miles away.
You know, well, sometimes you got to race those horses in.
That's close. I'm going to go play. I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, but like that, you know, it was great. We went to, I think I was in a country school until I was in fifth grade, you know, so... You know, yeah.
Country school means everybody got in the same room, right?
Yeah, pretty
right?
much. Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, did you have indoor plumbing?
No, I didn't. We didn't.
That's why I said. Yeah.
Until after. Yeah, we had the outdoor.
And you're in North Dakota.
South Dakota.
Still, it don't really matter. Yeah. Anytime you're up there.
Well, that's a little better in South Dakota.
And I have a hard time getting to the toilet and going to the bathroom when it's 68 degrees in the room. How do you manage that when it's 30 below?
Well,
we don't need to know.
Run fast.
All right, cool. Well, our guests are going to comment on everything we talk about today, so we're going to try to get on target a little bit today. Let's talk about kind of the stuff we learned, Kendra, yesterday, news and stuff like that through the day. But we need to clear up a couple things because... The one thing that we promise our fans and we promise you is that we're going to, if we get it wrong, we're not scared to admit it. We're not going to hide behind not doing a release or pretending we were misinformed. I was completely wrong yesterday. The livestock, I said they got 33% of what the Cowboys win. They do of the overall prize money, but the bulk of that goes to the $11,000 that they get when they get unloaded off the truck and the tag gets slapped on them. They don't get round money for winning the round. So if you win the round on my horse, you know, so-and-so's horse, he doesn't get a check for winning the round. Now they do a bonus check, and it's a small one, for the rankest horse of the night in each round, but it's not a big check. They do, however, get a buckle. It's presented on the stage at South Point. They get a buckle for that round, which, you know, that equates into money at the end of the day. So, correction, they don't get $11,000 when they went around. They get $11,000 when they get unloaded off the truck. So, really, the paychecks these guys get is when they bring the stock here and they unload them. The rest of the stuff is kind of pittance, you know, depends on if you're a gambler or not. It either pays for your Coronado bill or, you know, if you're a gambler, it might pay for your bar bill there if you're not. But so that, want to correct that. The other thing that I want to comment on, because we've gotten a little bit of static on this, we talked about a public post, which we will do. Heads up, everybody out there. You need to think twice about throwing something on Facebook. Because if I see it, we're going to use it because you put it out there. Okay? You can pull it later. That's your problem. But we will talk about it. So yesterday we talked about a horse that got mildly injured in the back pins. And we try to stick with no drama, just facts. And we've reached out, just so you know. So we'll find out if we get, you know, an opportunity to talk to the people in the back pins. Because we told the stock contractor's side of the story yesterday. Fair, right, Kendra? And so we're waiting to see if we hear the other side of the story, whatever that is, so that we give you all the facts that we know, so that you're not just making your opinion based on what you read on Facebook. That's our goal. That's our goal here. So, a couple corrections. We always want to do that at the top of the show. Now, let's get into what happened yesterday. Some big announcements, some big things. Kendra, you want to kick it off for us? Well, I think it's a big announcement that Stetson said, I'm back in 25. I'm healthy.
I thought we already knew that.
Well, we're flying off the seat of our pants. Get on the seat of my pants.
Okay, I knew that, but I didn't know that this is the first.
Well, it was
public.
Formally announced.
Okay.
I think it was formally announced that he said he was healthy. I mean, I know that we talked that he said
right.
He's going to go in.
Which 25. I'm really happy to hear that. And because what we do know is that, and Billy knows this well because he lived it too, is that in the different eras, you know, when Ty Murray was healthy, the timed eventers weren't entering the second event all the time. You know, Joe Beaver and Fred Whitfield weren't, you know, team roping and steer roping and doing all the things. It's been the same way was Stetson. You know, people were not making extra trips. They were not, you know, scrambling for a few dollars in a second event like they have been with Stetson out. The end. I mean, that's just the fact of it. Do you remember it? I mean, that, right?
Yep, yep,
yeah.
Yep.
And so Stetson's return is a big deal. Will Shad Mayfield and Coleman Proctor and guys like that go out of their road? I mean, I'm pretty sure that this year's rookie sensation all around cowboy Wacy Shala, he intends to ride bulls and bareback horses, because that's what he does. And so, you know, seeing him come on, I don't think Stetson's inclusion has anything to do with his plans. But, you know, I mean, Coleman's going to steer rope because he wants to, and he wants to make the steer roping finals. Shad's obvious priority is the calf roping. So it's just, it takes a lot of extra effort and a lot of, you know, extra horses and a lot of extra money and a lot of extra everything to try to win the all around. And with Stetson returning, that's a large factor. But I'm telling you, the Ty Murray deal, because Ty went through, you know, he was ruling the world. And then it was like this knee, that knee, this shoulder, that shoulder. And the minute that happened, my phone blew up with the Jobys. Is it true? Is he going back for surgery? Is he out again? Because then they were like on a whole different mode.
What, like I might win mode?
Like
I'm asking. I mean, if I'm in the game and I find out that if I'm playing football, I want to take out the star quarterback, my team might win.
I think it's just when you have somebody daylighting the field, these guys are realists, and when you rodeo for a living, the profit margin is tough as it is. So it is a lot of extra expense to be, you know, trying to win something in this day and age in a world of single event specialists, by the way, you know, for Shad to step out, or, you know, for those guys to step out and these guys have been being 3-7 the last two nights in the team rope, and you want to try to win something when you're a calf roper and you're just going to, you know, a couple times, you know, here and there try to duck off. Well, good luck. Ducking off in 2024 and 2025,
you can take their total earnings and stick it back into the game if they're not playing. That's simple math, right?
I'm just saying when it's like this guy wins $400,000 before the NFR starts or whatever, yeah, and you win 150, you're probably not going to enter 80 rodeos in a second event.
Anything on that?
Well, I think, you know, everybody's a cowboy like that. Trell, Robert's boy, Trell. You know, he loves the calf roping and bulldogging. And he actually rode Bronx great, you know, back in the day. So to me, like Trell, yeah, he's been trying to make a living, you know, really working on being the bulldogger. But still, when you go out someplace else, you know, that he'll still want it. He's wanting to always enter that calf roping. It's just when it makes sense to enter the calf roping. So like that, I can see those guys playing around with it, you know, because if, you know, even back in the day, I loved the team rope, you know. So I wasn't against entering up with somebody, you know, or like say I actually took place for a guy that couldn't make it up in Denver one year. So I was team roping with him because he didn't have a partner and I was in that perf, you know. So people that love and are great at all those events, I think they're always going to be, they always want to do that. It's just if it promotes itself and they get to do it.
A couple things about Trell, like he was this close to making the NFR in the steer wrestling a couple years ago and he got hurt, right?
Yep.
Toward the end.
Yep.
I remember that.
Yep.
It was kind of a little heartbreaker. But he, I talk about an all-around cowboy, Linderman Award winner. That's a very coveted award to win, and especially in this. So many more guys used to work both ends of the arena way back in the day before our time. And for him to do that, you know, I mean, how many, he roped calves, bulldogged, rode Bronx. Am I missing anything?
Yeah, no, that's basically it.
Okay,
yeah.
But I mean, that to win that award, that's a huge prestige. I do have a question as to where Trell got his stature. Because he's built like a bulldogger, not as, I mean, how much do you weigh?
63 pounds wet.
Yeah. Right.
Where did that come from?
No, the Allsworth side. So Sue, Trell's mom, So, yeah, the Allsworth side is, they're very, very big.
Healthy? Man.
Yeah, they can load an alfalfa truck pretty quick.
It comes in handy when you're bulldogging.
So, oh, yeah, you know, and like that is just the older you got, you know, the more you grow, you know. So, you know, he's just, no matter what, I mean, he moves around good as far as like roping the calves. And, you know, if he, who knows what would have happened there. That 1 year, he was actually rodeoing with Taos and those guys, and he would actually hit the road, and he was just riding Bronx there that 1 year he was going to try it. Well, and it just happened to be that, like at Deadwood, he rolled off and broke his wrist, like, really bad. So then he couldn't do nothing for a year, you know. So that kind of, I think that kind of made all the, somewhat of a difference on how he grew and everything, because it went kind of from really being able to go possibly make a living riding Bronx and roping calves and bulldogging to where he couldn't do nothing for a year. So it totally kind of changes your routine.
It almost feels like a little bit of a fate thing in a way too, because I just wonder, like, with his genetic makeup, would he have had to starve himself like a wrestler or a jockey to have a long saddle bronc riding career? I don't know. And also, you mentioned Taos, world champion saddle bronc rider. I just saw that he was in the top five for pickup man of the
top
year.
Top five, yep.
Right?
Taos was top
five. That's
awesome.
That
is cool. That speaks of the cowboys that you guys are.
Yeah. Well, and like that, you know, there's no board, you know, those guys are cowboys, just like Trail. He's a great pickup man too. You know, I mean, he's not going to go out there and hit the road being a pickup man, but you go like to the school and stuff like that between Trail and Shade and just like Taos, you know, they can do it all.
Did your brother Dan pick up here at the NFR?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's pretty cool.
I don't remember what year, but I think I only rode one horse or made far enough to make the pickup, man. So I got one picture with Danny on when he picked me up there.
All right, well, we'll keep running through last night's happenings. I will say this. And I'm going to leave it alone. Anybody can comment that they want. Zach Top, pretty cool in the opening ceremonies. How about that national anthem? How about that national anthem? There was passion there. Passion in the anthem. All right. And then you want to talk about Rich and Speed, their banner going up?
That was cool. I went to they had a reception up at the Cox Pavilion outside the Thomas and Mack. The Vegas NFR Icons is a really cool thing. And one day we'll look up in those rafters at the Thomas and Mack and we'll see what we saw this last year for you. Cody Ohl and Billy Utbauer last year. That is like the elite of the elite of the elite. And it goes for this building, but it also goes just in general. These guys, we will never see another Billy Utbauer. Last night, Speed and Rich... And Joe Beaver is the third. He'll be, you know, Speed and Rich last night. Joe B will be recognized tonight. But, you know, they call this the house that Joe built, you know, because he set it on fire in 85 as a rookie and won the world. But really cool. And Speed and Rich, you know, they won 8 world titles, and they did it the hard way. Because if you think, what I remember is that, like, in the first round, Speed found a way to go out with a no time. I mean, he lost his rope. He missed. He caught his rope on the, you know, neck rope or something. Like, there was something. He got, 1 year, he got his rope caught under Viper's tail and circled the wagons, I think, till they got the buzzer and in the first round. But we came to expect it. And it was almost like it was their blessing. And I thought about that this year when, you know, Dustin Agusquiza and Levi Lord went in the lead this year and went out in the first round. And I just, if I was Dustin's mom, I wanted to go over and say, don't you worry, because he's so much like Speed, like live by the sword, die by the sword, you know, a gunslinger. And it's like, that was just kind of almost a blessing to Speed and Rich, because after that, they just went gunning for go rounds and they were the masters at go rounds, you know, and Viper was like stealing in that building, and Rich on Roni and Chili Dog, like some of the best heel horses of all time. But it was like Rich was the risk taker. No, Speed was the risk taker. Rich was the closer, and they, I mean, you must have watched them run 1,000 steers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah, it just nothing better, you know, to go watch that. And like that, I was kind of the same way. I was always going to mess up one, and you just go for the, you know, just let the average take care of itself. But, yeah, once you mess it up, then you can really just really shoot at it.
Let it fly. Well, and Rich said last night, it was kind of funny. He's like, you know, the only year we won the average, I roped like shit, you know. And he's like, I roped legs. We did all these things, but we caught. But it was almost hollow because they wanted to win first every night, and that was their calling card, as it was yours. And they were very fun to watch. Anyway, I think it's cool. The only 8-time world champion, in 8 straight, no less, team reppers that we've ever seen.
Very cool. Well, I think if you're cool with it, we'll just run through, kind of recapping each discipline last night, and then talking a little bit about what we're looking for, because if you want to play Pro Fantasy Rodeo daily, you might want to listen up, because he's got one of the best cowboys in the world. Maybe he'll give you some tips on who to pick in the
You say stuff. Discipline, I say event. We'll agree, tomato, tomato. Let's go.
This is an event. The whole thing is an event.
Eye roll emoji. Let's go.
Here we go. It's not the aggregate, it's the average. Keep going. Here we go. Bareback riding. You want to kick us off?
Cool to see a kid here for the first time. Bradley Miller, you know, won it last night. He was 86 and a half. He's Bubba's boy, and Bubba is the rodeo coach at Sam Houston State. That kid grew up. I know a little bit about that program because my son Taylor tried to give me a heart attack by leaving Cal Poly after 2 years, which is an academic institution, and moved to Joe Beaver's 8X Ranch and went to Bubba Miller's Sam Houston rodeo program, and I nearly died because he moved away, but great move on his part. Bradley Miller grew up in the Sam Houston rodeo program. He's a product of that program. So that speaks highly. You know, the college schools, they get to be known, right? Panhandle State University was called Bronc Rider U because Robert and Craig were there as the coaches, right? And Danny would help and stuff too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, young kids in high school take note. Bradley Miller's daddy runs the program in Sam Houston. Just saying.
Well, if you watched Bears last night, I thought the Bears the first night were a little weak. That pin wasn't supposed to be weak, and it wasn't. I thought it was interesting, or everybody saw that Rocker gets KO'd with his head on the back. I would imagine on the flank strap. That's what it looked like. He's out. Gets thrown off. That's a tough.
He didn't make the Justin Sports Medicine. I don't know if he got looked at or not, but he didn't make the Justin Sports Medicine report last night. I did look to see about that.
Well, probably because I don't know. Maybe he's just tough and doesn't think he needs to be looked at. But it was obvious that his cookies were creamed.
Yes.
The last jump or two. And
yes.
He was gone. And,
I do have a question. I know that they rolled, you know, Cole Franks was supposed to go first last night. Jacob Lee's has ridden first both nights. And I'm sorry, you tell me, but to me it's a disadvantage to go first, and he's gone first both nights. I don't know why. They rolled him past Cole up for whatever reason. Cole, his horse wasn't ready or something. But to me, that's a disadvantage.
This is the stuff we like to talk about. Is it a disadvantage, Billy, to be first gunner?
Well, you could pick either scenario, I guess. You know, you could pick it to be that disadvantage, or you could be it. You know, you could just go out there and set the standard, and that's what I'd do. I mean, if you got to go first, you got to go first, and you know, it is what it is. You know, even if he was supposed to go second, if the guy that was gonna be first, you know, you got to switch it up, then just go out there and set the standards. It is what it is.
It seems to me if the judges are good, right, and they don't have to set, if they're good enough that they don't have to set their mark for that night by the first guy, right? That's what tells the story to me.
Okay, so to me, for one of the thousand things everybody loves about Billy Eppbauer, besides his humility and all the rest of it, is he's never known an excuse that he would live with or use, and that's awesome. To me, in reality, it's human nature that do rodeo announcers not sort of try to, quote, sell it a little bit as you go? I mean, it's kind of anticlimactic if they don't.
Well, no, if you're producing a show, you want to start and end it strong. So if you're setting the buck order, you know, you from a production standpoint, right? Here's the thing that I noticed, like in Salt Lake, we've got a lot of fans that are non-rodeo fans. Well, the sooner you show them a great ride, right, the sooner they then know how to judge it themselves, right? So if they see a great ride early, then you'll see them really roar for something that they thought. Now, they might not know what they're watching, but you know what I'm saying. So from a production standpoint, you want to shoot that first gunner out quick. You want it to be a good horse and a good guy. And naturally, it's always best to not end the round on a re-ride or, you know.
Well, you know, and the score really doesn't matter. All that matters is that the order is correct. So the right guys get the money, you know, by the time it's over. I appreciate the fact that they're not, I'm sure they did it for sponsor reasons. For several years where they would put up before the bull riding started the matchup of the night, I appreciate that they're not doing that anymore because I kind of cringed when they did that. Like, to me, it's like, you're going to put up, this is the matchup of the night. In other words, if these two go, you know, if this guy
that's
stays
true.
On, he's supposed
that's
to
true.
Win.
I never thought about it that way.
I didn't
that's,
like that.
I never thought about that. It's almost like if these two do it, they should win. It's almost like you're subtly saying
Yeah, I didn't
that.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting. So bareback riding last night, we talked about it, but tonight let's dip into tonight a little bit. You know, everybody's going to talk about Reiner getting on, Cole Reiner getting on who he rocks because he's won on him a couple times. I'm waiting for RC Lanningham to have a perf. I am. Maybe because he's on my fantasy team, but I think he's pretty consistent. But you're the horse expert. Looking at this bareback field, who are you liking right now in the bareback riding? You're not going to give me that?
I'm not, you know,
he is way too nice to say that.
I'm not going to pick a guy out of there. I just hope everybody stays healthy and rides good. I mean, truthfully, that's all I want. I want everybody to be able to stay healthy and really come out and have a great finals and enjoy themselves. Because it's hard when you come in here and you get hurt, especially these guys. You talk about getting tortured, you know, so I just hope they can stay healthy and have fun.
For everybody, may the best man win. It's really, I mean, that's, I totally agree. Like, nobody wants to win because somebody got hurt or fouled or screwed. You know, everybody just wants everybody to do their best. Otherwise, you know, it's a hollow victory if something happened. You know, everybody's pretty sure that one person who won a lot of money in the Bulldog in the first night ran straight through the barrier.
But you don't see anybody giving the buckle back if they won because they
I'm
got
just
blessed
saying,
around.
May the best man win always stands because everybody wants everybody to do their best. You know, you might draw Virgil and he decides that day he doesn't really feel like bucking that hard or whatever. And
but
nobody,
I'm going to get 7 or 8 points just because of his name.
Nobody wants to see that. Everybody wants the stock. Nobody wants anybody eliminated in the timed events by, you know, a steer that sets up or a calf that kicks. Everybody wants everybody get their fair shot, do their best, and let's
you think Rocker wants everybody to win? That's why we're no spin rodeo. Here we go. Saddle bronc riding. No, we'll go to the steer wrestling, huh? You want to kick us off with steer wrestling?
Sure. So really fun to see Rowdy Parrott. Cajun Cowboy win his first round. Rowdy is a kid who came up through Oates Junior Steer Wrestling Program and used to live at his house and was in the truck, as did, you know, Tyler Wagasback. They've eaten a lot of Oates homemade pancakes. Rowdy, you know, he was 3-6 last night.
Well, hold on. Pancakes for a bulldogger.
Oates makes them from scratch, like old school South Dakota Mary Lou's recipe.
I know, but a bulldogger, it's probably a really... See, I don't like the big, thick
pancakes.
No, they're
beautiful. They're not thick. They're thin, but they're as big as a plate. And they put peanut butter on them, which I think is disgusting. But whatever, beside the point, Rowdy could have eaten more of them because he weighs just slightly more than Billy. But he's a great guy. He's a great family. He's from a great family. The parrots are wonderful. He's married to Caleb Schmidt's sister and is part of that huge family, I won't go into that. Oat and I, as we talked through each perf, we're kind of surprised that nobody tapped Caleb's horse pockets to be here because he's been such a freaking stud here. But Rowdy, speaking of horse studs, he's actually a gelding. That black horse he's riding, Ty Erickson's Crush, is the horse of the year. And he's named after his name, his registered name is Finding Mino, and they called him Crush because his sire is Finding Nemo. And that movie, there's a turtle who acts stoned and is really laid back, and this horse acts really laid back.
We've got a stone turtle.
Anyway.
Okay.
So Ty and Sierra Erickson bought Crush off of Facebook for $4,500. He's this year's Horse of the Year, and he's here with Ty, Rowdy, and J.D. Strexness, and they will win a fortune on him because he's a bad cat.
So, two things. For the no spinners that are not rodeo people, you hear these guys talk about the start all the time, and they're working through it. And what that is when you're doing 3 second runs, they have to hit that barrier, which is their let them go line, right before they break it, right? And guys that are a step off, right, cost themselves a round here. Not only how they set up their steer, but when you see someone that does anything in the middle underneath the jumbotron in most rounds, that's not gonna cut it. So you hear start, year start, that's how quick they get out of the box without breaking the barrier and getting fouled. Now, Billy, ever bulldog?
I did.
Did you?
Believe it or not, yeah.
And
not professionally, no.
Did they have to drop their head for you to get your heels, or did you take them to the other end until they quit running? Okay. All right.
One comment before we leave the steer wrestling. The flagging last night was exceptional. There were several tricky, hung legs and stuff, and they got it exactly right.
I agree. You're right. There were some they did it really, really well. And all I'm saying is all of you millions of pro fantasy rodeo people that picked up Wags because he didn't cost anything, don't worry. He's going to make you some money eventually. I don't think he's going to go through this without
only
winning
stupid
something.
People bet against Tyler Wagasback.
But he hasn't earned me $1 yet. You have Wags too and I do?
Not
well,
to
then
panic.
We're a wash. You're still going to get a tattoo, but it doesn't matter. Okay, here we go.
Okay, the team roping, hello, 3-7, two nights in a row. T. Wade and Wesley Thorpe on the 2024 Horses of the Year. What can you even say? This I have an off-the-subject comment. Before it started last night, Oates says to me, I would be so pissed off if I was the first team because they have had that barrier pulled for 5 minutes. And he's like, I would purposely back my horse through it to make him retie it.
Why?
Because he's like, the longer it sits there like that, the closer it is to just snapping on its own.
Really? That's interesting.
Whatever, I'm just saying, like, he's like, I would look for a fresh string personally. And Oat, I think, was fairly low maintenance guy, like, didn't.
Really?
He was here 14 times and never got a fine, so I don't think he's a bellyacher, but he's like, hey. That thing's been, he's sitting there. I would never have noticed that. He's like, that thing's been pulled for
string density. Anyway. String density is playing into the game.
But those guys, and by the way, I don't know exactly what got Caleb Drigger's rope out of his hand, but
nothing. He
just
lost
it. I don't know.
I watched it 3 or 4 times, and that is so not normal, but I didn't see him hit it. It was almost like it shocked him. Because he was like, what happened?
It might have just been in one of those shit happens things. Like poor Tanner Milan in the first night, first bulldogger out, he hits the dirt hazing. I mean, that sucks. And so if you're Caleb Driggers, you're like, shit happens, right? What else are you going to say?
Yeah, well, and it opens it up. Just go for the rounds.
So, Billy, if these team ropers are taking your approach to the NFR, they're gunning every round, right?
And they're gunning anyway. Yeah.
Well, there's some of these guys that aren't. Yeah, I mean, last night we saw guys that fired taking a risk. Yeah. We saw a few guys, they still fire fast, but they were a little more conservative. Yeah. What do you think is the best approach? Go for it.
That's each to their own there, and it all depends on where you're at.
You can't just be vanilla. You got to.
But they got to be the decision makers on that, on how. And every one of them is going to be a little bit different. One of them is going to take more chances than the next guy, you know. And some of them are going to be better, more slower to, you know, a little bit slower to be able to stay in that average, where other guys are just going to throw it anyway.
Now, I've got one more question. You can probably answer, either one of you two, because you know I'm not a timey. It looked like a couple of those headers, when they stuck it on really, really fast, that the heeler wasn't expecting it. Is that ever a thing? Or when they're back there, they go, I'm firing, you be ready? Because it did look to me, and maybe it's just because I don't know.
Here's one thing that I'll say is a heeler can look like a monkey really easy in this building at no fault of his own. Because if there are guys who are masterful, that left wall is right there. Yeah. And that corner is right there. And a head horse can get stuck in the corner so quick. Well, when that happens, the steer's wide open, loose rope, you know, and that steer's, you know, fishtailing and going everywhere. And then the heeler can look, you know, hung out to dry because those guys know. And the header's going to apologize if that happened. But it's an art form. To, you know, and speed, part of the reason why his banner hangs from the rafters is because not only did he stick it on him, but then he handled him, which is at that time had, you know, back in the H.P. Evitts days, he was the original big time reacher. You know, Leo was on his own back there, you know, but the trade off was, I'm going to get it on quick and you're on your own. And then now speed revolutionized handling steers quickly, but he could. He scored so great. Viper scored so great. He got it on him so quick. And then he gave Rich some room before that wall. Rich was like, you know, he was always on a great horse, but just he had a great shots right there. Like speed could make that steer the happy hopper, even though he threw three coils. Right. And so that's a fact of the matter. We have to mention that our regular season leaders, Dustin Eguizuiza and Levi Lord, you know, the first night Dustin missed, last night Levi missed. That's a little hard to watch because winning the regular season is the hardest thing there is in rodeo. I mean, that's harder than having a good 10 days in Vegas. And those guys, of course, they might win the next 8 rounds. But that's hard. And you start looking at people's body language.
Well, they've dug a hole that they... Like yesterday when you said, but now that's they've got a pretty big mountain in front of them now.
Well, it gets harder by the day, I suppose. But those guys, you know, they really might win the next 8 rounds. So hopefully.
All right, now we're into our feature event of the night because our stud, bronc riding stud's on stage with us. Saddle bronc riding.
So Brody Wells. Won the round, the first 90-point ride of the week. I don't know Brody Wells yet. He's from Wyoming. What'd you think?
It was great. Yeah, just hopefully he can keep her going and keep marking them out and keep setting their feet in the neck. So, yeah, it was a great ride.
There was a yellow flag thrown on Rider Wright, and the review confirmed that he missed his horse out, which was a very big turn of events.
Yeah, and they showed the camera angle on the side that he missed it out, which helps for the viewers to see where that came from. Brennan, though, he was a no-show in round one, places third in round two. Any thoughts on that? Is this animals circumstance? I thought he would be.
You're talking
ass.
About Damian Brennan?
Yeah.
He was 86.5 points last night.
Placed third.
and you're saying that's not good?
But I'm just saying, a guy that's coming in smoking like that, right? You know?
Third's pretty damn good.
Okay.
But
forget
okay.
that talking point. That was a stupid talking point.
No, they also, they did retire Powder River's double take last night. Who had her? Logan Hay. So he was 81 and a half on her. They said last night she's 32 years old. She's been to the finals 8 times and has had 15 90-point rides, and the Franzes are retiring her to the Powder River Ranch after this. I mean, 32 years old.
And she looked like $1 million, too.
That's pretty cool.
Now, okay, so before we leave bronc riding, Mr. Bauer, I've got a question. The animals, the livestock, would you say it's significantly different or not from when you were in your prime? In other words, you know, are there, you know, in a pen of 15 horses, I don't know, but there's 13 of them that you can win on, where when you did it, there were 6, or was it the same? Is it very similar? Do they buck differently now? What's the difference in the animals?
Well, I think they tried to have the perfect, you know, they tried to, when I was going, so they wanted to have 15 horses that were the same, you know, but as a whole, there wasn't as many great horses. I feel that there was, you know, we had horses or pens that were like 18-point horses, where now basically it's a 20 to 25 pointers, where we had some horses that wasn't that good, but there's just so many. Everybody, just the breeding programs that they've got going is just outstanding, you know. So it's kudos to all these contractors and stuff being able to put, you know, all this is basically this, like these horses are just parts of their family, and everybody's just improving it all the way around. And just like even me and my breeding program for barrel horses and rope horses for Holly and the kids, you know, that everybody's just putting more effort and everything into having that horse that's better for what your discipline is.
And for it to be less of a drawing contest is progress for our sport, right?
I'm sorry, Sam.
For it to be less of a drawing contest in any event, more chances every single night is best for everybody.
Oh, yeah, I really feel, you know, and I kind of comes back to how fortunate you are when you come in here, because you can come in and I've come in and had where I didn't win nothing, you know, and then I've had unbelievable years, and thankfully for the, you know, the great years. But you just, hopefully you come in, you just got to come in here, be taking care of your job, and it is what it is, and you just got to just strive for the top.
One more question on bronc riding, then we'll move on. When you guys rode back in the day, your crew that had the same bank account and shared Twinkies and all that stuff, you guys, you guys put baby powder on your shaps, stuff like that, right? Or nothing. Was there ever any, that group, you know, was there ever anything that was on the swells of the saddles or in their shaps or anything when you guys rode?
No, basically, well, near as what I know, or at least what...
No, I mean, I know you can't say for a fact, but I mean overall.
It was just dry powder. I had a rosin sock, they call it, so it was white rosin. And basically, my swells were spotless, other than I would slap that rosin sock on my swells and my shaps, and I'd dust it off, and that's what it was. So
yeah,
all four of us was that way, and basically about everybody in that day as a whole was like that.
So. And I'm going to draw one parallel, Kendra, to what you said, and you may disagree with me. When it was a drawing contest, the really good cowboys had to have the ability to dress up the animal with the characteristics that he had, like. Now, if they all jump, drop, kick the same way, then you can lock yourself in a little bit more, right? But like the bull riding, when my dad was fighting bulls, those Sunfish and Bramers and stuff, you could have a plan all you wanted, but you were right. You had to ride them moment by moment.
Yeah.
You know, and the horse is the same way. You see some of the pictures on Facebook of the old guys riding, and I'll see a comment, well, he's almost thrown off. Well, that's the way it was back then. You weren't just locked in there riding a rocking chair.
Well, and like Billy, you know, I think the word people would use, like, you exposed yourself so much, letting it all hang out or whatever. And when you were talking just now, my mind went to the bull riding as a sort of a parallel example. Is everybody always said Jim Sharp, first guy to ride all 10 here, made it look too easy.
Yep.
And made them look easier than they really were. Whereas, you know, I also worked for the PBR. Everybody always said Chris Shivers and his free arm are worth a bunch of points because he could dress one up and make it look wilder and harder.
Well, put Charlie Sampson on the same bull with Razor.
Right.
Put him on the same bull. Hell, Charlie looked like his arm was fixing to be dislocated on the exact same bull. His head was here, his ears were over here, everything was everywhere, and Razor was right up in the middle.
Personal style, showmanship, you know, whatever it was. But Razor, being Razor, wasn't going to change anything. But, I mean, the master at making one look easier than he really was.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll skip on past that. Keep rolling. Bronc riding predictions. You won't even touch that, will you? I'm starting to learn my guess here.
The same scenario. I just want everybody to stay healthy and spur them out for two jumps and spur them in the neck.
Sounds good. Well, Zeke, you know, Zeke's 173 points on two head in the average. Damian Brennan's still, 20,000 ahead of Ryder.
You know, super cool yesterday. Billy and Zeke were on the Rodeo Deep Dive show over on the Cowboy Channel stage together. And it was really, really cool. Like, Zeke made comments like every bronc rider in the last 30 years grew up idolizing Billy Utbauer, which you'll never hear from Billy Utbauer, but it's just factual. And, you know, Zeke has now won 5 Canadian titles and 4 world titles, and he's young, and he's extraordinary. And, you know, it's all up to how long he decides to stay hooked and not go home to the ranch, right? On what he can win.
Yeah, well, and like that, you know, I guess it's God's plan, you know, for you know, I know Zeke, I know what he's going to be wanting to do, you know, but just like that, it's God's plan on what happens, because, you know, he could, you know, I don't want to do anything to hinder anybody, you know, but things happen, you know, and you just count your blessings every time that you go out there and ride and be able to make the finals and stay healthy. And that's where I'm getting out of just being able to stay healthy. So you can just keep on going and really trying to take care of your job.
And there are more options also now, because when you were talking, I'm thinking, oh, God's plan, or how, you know, detours happen. I'm thinking Sage Kimsey. His whole life goal, it was like Ty Murray grew up wanting to beat Larry Mahan's all-around record. Yep. Sage Kimsey grew up wanting to beat Donnie Gay's, you know, world titles record. And now, you know, he's made a decision that's best for him and his family to go to the PBR. And he's not, his lifelong goal, he made a man decision of what he thinks is best for him and his family. And we know careers are short. The next ride could be your last for anybody.
Yep.
And things, you know, things do happen. But, you know, Zeke, the sky's the limit. It's all what, you know.
7 plus, as far as I'm concerned.
There's the prediction. He made a prediction. He won't admit it, but that was a prediction. All right. Here we go. Tie down, roping.
Excuse me. Do you guys want to talk about Zeke and the mule?
Have you seen that Zeke's riding a mule in the Grand Entry? Do you know anything about that?
I did. I saw the mule, but I didn't realize it was Zeke.
Now, is it Zeke every perf?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Or do we have a picture of it?
2 for 2. Well,
we have proof.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah.
That's definitely a mule.
Check out the Tapaderos, too. So, okay. This lovely young lady that gave me this picture, by the way, Catherine Coleman, happens to be the winemaker Julio Gallo's granddaughter. But that mule and those Tapaderos go straight out to the desert. Those belong to Derek Begay. And I think it's cool as shit.
Well, I think that if you look at the mule right now, That's my attitude for about 12 of the days I'm in Vegas right there, if you look at his ears. All right, keep moving. We're into tie down roping. What do you got, Santos?
Oh, Riley Webb, 7-8, back-to-back.
Go, Riley. Go, Riley. Well, he's on my fantasy team. I watched that kid humbly lose $1 million at our event.
I was there.
And take it like a champ.
I was there. He was, what, 16 years old?
That's right.
He is a champ. And I finally asked, I was talking to his girlfriend, Josie Connor, the other day during the breakaway finals, because she was contending for a gold buckle. And I'm like, okay, do your parents, like, sit you guys aside and media train you in the truck on the way to every event? Because they're like, Riley is like, he's never had a misstep. I don't care how mad he is, what just happened. He's like this little model citizen, and he's a media person's dream, but he does not lose his cool. Anyway, he has been flawless. It's not a surprise.
Well, it's been flawless circumstances. Let me tell you something. In my opinion, the true champion gold was shown when Shad's calf takes a hard left. He ropes him and does what he does.
And barely is moving, reminiscent of that time with Cody Ohl, where, like, the calf was barely out of a trot, but Shad and Miss Lollipop handled it like the champs they are.
So I'm saying, in may not have won, but that was a big, huge moment.
To salvage an 8-3 out of that, that may well turn up with great dividends after round 10.
Billy, that's just like you said. There were times in the finals when you thought you were bucked off and you just jumped to the front end. It's the same thing. For that calf roper, right?
Yeah, it's just you just pray that everything will come together. You just got to keep working at it, and that's what we do all year. We work at that perfection all the time, whether you get it or not, you know. But just like that, you want the ball rolling your way.
I thought it was a little side note. I stayed last year, and I always watch the extras after the rodeo because I'm a nerd. And Joel Harris ran the extras last year here, and he even struggled a little bit. But how cool! You know, you run the extras. Kyle Lucas is running them this year. But Joel Harris.
Tell the fans, though, what's running the extras?
Okay, running the extras is so you run the calves that didn't get drawn so that when they go again, they'll have an equal number of runs. It's to
see in the arena. They have
the
exact same experience.
To make things more fair, level the playing field so they all have an equal amount of runs. But so when Joel Harris shows up here, Ty's brother, Joel's here for the first time, but he's run all kind of calves in this arena already, and to me that's a big advantage. And a little note on the Harris brothers, they rode two different horses the first night, but Ty got off the Palomino and got on the same buckskin horse. They tag teamed Old Buck last night, so you know, a little bit of movement there. But Riley Webb is just being Riley Webb.
Yeah, watch out, chat's coming. Hey, we got 6 minutes. So let's, and by the way, Riley is now $16,000 short of Shad. It's not much. Okay. We're in a barrel race, and now I have got to say, I feel, I'm going to start this. You can finish it. Last night, Haley Kinzel, she was on top of the ground. Well, evidently, top or bottom of the matter. What say you?
Well, that's, yeah, she went first, the first, she went second to last, the second night. That she sister would win round zero's prize. It's also, there's a lot of defending champions, you know, holding pretty tight, including Riley Webb that we just talked about. That is a great call out to the people handling the ground. Sad was seeing Leslie Smoligo, Gus ducked in front of the second barrel. That's hard to watch because that's so uncharacteristic of
is that
horse.
You train barrel horses, right? I just have a question. Is that, because I'm asking, is that something that the jockey made a mistake or the horse got confused or maybe both? I'm just asking. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to just say it's just a scenario of it. It's just, that just sucks for her, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she knows what went wrong and you know, it is what it is. So you just kind of come back and try to fix it again, you know, but you just got to be there and just try to not let it happen.
It's got to be a little bit on the jockey at some point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Carly Otero, just a note, kind of like, you know, some when horses stumble and they still do really, really well. Her horse about went down on the third barrel, and she's still 13. That horse is known for, I mean, runs wide open. But even in a small building, if she keeps him standing and she doesn't, the horse doesn't go down to his knees, that horse is pretty electric.
That was wicked last night. Yeah, if he wouldn't went down on the third one.
So one thing interesting, I'm wondering why they're playing Freebird for Haley instead of Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress.
Oh, are you a music critique?
No, I'm just
wondering. Y'all music directors, if you want a playlist, Kendra Santos can give it to you.
I'm just saying it was a longstanding tradition. I don't know why. Maybe she said I want it changed. I have no idea.
I don't change anything here.
I'm not criticizing anything.
Exactly the way it's been for the last 65 years.
I'm the girl. He's the drama queen. Go ahead.
You can ask the next podcast coming up about that.
Yeah. 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 The head music director is on Rump Chat. You can grill him on the music selection.
Let's go to Council Hill, Oklahoma. Jeter Lawrence was 87 and a half and won the bull
run. His eyes were as big as oats pancakes.
It was really sweet. And by the way, he's built just like Billy. He's just a kid. He's, 18, 19 years old?
Yeah, he's maybe.
What I noticed, I started keeping track. 8 guys got bucked off last night in 2 seconds.
Yeah, you could see that coming with that pin of bulls.
So
you could. I was really happy they rode some.
By the way, so HD Page said from Powder River, he said that that bull that Jeter won the round on, Buck Nasty, is a 4-year-old. That was the first time he's ever been ridden.
It would be interesting to find out if that was an unclassic trip from that bull. You know what I'm saying?
It's very
Did
impressive.
He jump out of it a little bit earlier than normal, or was that his normal trip? Because I love it when, I know you hate it when we talk about go-round records, but it's the same thing when they go, this bull's never been ridden. Oh, my God, they rode him today.
Okay, stop right there. Billy, do you think that who has the record for a score in round one makes one shit?
He's not going to answer. Don't you step out on a ledge for her.
All that matters is who has the record. He has the 93-point record.
She says that round records are useless. They're stupid.
Sooner or later, it's going to be broken one way or the other, probably. Oh, so
he was born politically correct.
Yeah. He just served you a dish of nothing. What?
You can't trip Billy Epauer.
It does matter. It matters how you... Let me ask you this, Billy. It's different. The first round is different than the seventh round in how you're feeling. You got to be more nervous the first round than the seventh round. You're not injured. So every round's not equal, Kendra. I mean, when you ride a bareback horse and you're in round 9, your body's significantly talking to you different than in round 1. So those records matter.
There's zero way that Billy Epauer rode different on round 1 versus round 10. No.
Was your body different?
It depends on the year. Well, sometimes I was sore, sometimes I wasn't.
I know that, but I'm saying.
There was times that I walked out of here feeling the same way as I came in, you know, but there was years I couldn't hardly walk out of here.
But you weren't more nervous on round one because it's like, I don't want to stub a toe.
First year, rookie year. You were no more nervous in round one.
We aren't talking about rookie year, Skippy.
Why do we get to only talk about what you want to talk about? Okay, but here's my point. Back to the original. Let's table that discussion. My point is on an unrideable bull. Most of the times, there's only been one time that I've seen a bull have the same trip and get ridden. Okay, you know what I'm saying? He. That's what I'm getting at. You know what I mean?
He just rode him. That did not look like a day off to me, and I watched it several times.
No, I wasn't. I was just wondering if he come around a little quicker. Does he lunge forward? I'm just asking. I'm not saying that he doesn't. I just don't know.
Well, you just got to ride everything jump for jump, so it doesn't. It doesn't really matter.
We're done. We got to wrap it up. We're out of time. Well, final thoughts. I've got a quick question. All these years in Vegas, any secret cafe that you'd like to eat at that nobody knows about? That was always good food that you would sneak off and go eat at?
Well, I would recommend Michael's.
Well, that's not a secret. I'm talking about like Juan's taco truck at the corner of Target. Any of those?
I'd be a little sketchy to do that.
All right.
Michael's, for the record, is at the South Point.
It is. Fantastic food. Well, we thank all of you for putting up with me and enjoying them in this episode of No Spin Rodeo. We're having a rally right here in Las Vegas. Come back and see us tomorrow. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg, for saying nothing. Thank you, Kendra, for correcting me all the time. Thank you. Watch us on Ride Pass, Cowboy Channel Plus app, and any podcast platform. Be safe.